This is the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End and Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
16th to go, an American Pharoah and firing line, and it's American Pharoah pulling away late. American Pharoah rules the Derby!
Big Blue Kitten's got a 2.5 length lead. Slumber, Twilight Eclipse on the inside are coming. Big Blue Kitten, Slumber, Twilight Eclipse. Big Blue Kitten won the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic.
Also sponsored by Abracadabra Farm, Adena Springs, Airdrie Stud, American Racehorse Magazine, BetAmerica.com, Brisnet.com, Cal Density, Castleton Lions, Claiborne Farm, Coolmore, Daily Racing Form, Darley, DerbyBox.com, FarmPaint.com, Flair Equine Nasal Strips, Gainesway, Jimmy John's, Kentucky Bank, Tollgate Hay and Straw, Kentucky Downs, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, the Lexus Store of Lexington, Maryland Thoroughbred, Mill Ridge, Nicholson Insurance, Owner View, Pin Oak Stud, Ramsey Farm, Santa Anita, Spendthrift Farm, and Washington Hay.
Now woodbound Nyquist, swipe at the rail, swipe is coming fast, Nyquist calls on all he's fast, they hit and head for the wire, Nyquist was all hot.
American Pharoah put away Frosted, he has to deal with Keen Ice, Keen Ice has got him, Keen Ice has won the Travers over American Pharoah.
Now here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome to the Equine Forum right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, alongside my usual entry mate here on the program. You know him as the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, broadcasting throughout North America on Sirius XM 93 on affiliates across the country, including Hank 96.1 here in Lexington and ESPN 680 in Louisville. Of course, streaming worldwide on your computer, on your smartphone, or your tablet. It's all there for you on our website at horseracingradio.net. It is day two of the 17-day Keeneland Fall Meet. Of course, the meet opened yesterday with two Breeders' Cup winning your in races, the Phoenix, which went to Run Happy for Maria Burrell and Edgar Prado, and Gomo taking the Alcibiades to win her spot into the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies for Doug O'Neill and his good friend Mario Gutierrez. And boy, what a team that has been. JT, good morning, and welcome to a chilly Keeneland.
Yeah, good morning. It's a little funky out here at Keeneland.
You think?
The track is very muddy and also a little slow, judging by some of the workout times. I've been here for a while. And
did you break out the stopwatch this morning?
I did not break it out because there wasn't much business, as the clockers like to say.
Yeah.
But
it's quiet.
It's very quiet. Neil Pessin worked one like in 39-3, and the track's just, it's kind of slow and dead.
Yeah, we've had a lot of rain here in this area over the past couple of days. If you were paying attention to the races here yesterday, you know that the turf course was listed as soft and the main track was just a sea of slop all afternoon, and we're expecting more of the same today. The forecast is calling for more showers throughout the afternoon, so that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out and how it might affect all the graded stakes that we're going to see this afternoon. Five graded stakes races, three of those are winning your ends, and you have the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity, which will be on the main track, the Thoroughbred Club of America, and then, of course, the Shadwell Turf, which is going to be on the turf course.
Yeah, and we also have the races in New York. The turf there, only the graded stakes are going to be on the grass. All the other races are taken off the turf, so they're much in the same boat for Breeders' Cup Preview Day in New York, and so it's going to be one of those days, just batten down the hatches and see what happens. It's always disconcerting when the races, big prep races, are running on.
Could conceivably take the races off the grass like we see racetracks do so often, but I don't think there's any way that happens, considering the fact that the Breeders' Cup is going to be contested here, well, in 4 weeks, and up in the races are here on the dirt course, and you have horses coming from overseas that absolutely aren't going to want to run on that dirt course. So I as long as it's safe.
Good thing about the Keeneland turf course is it's a sand-based turf course, so it has a nice firm bottom, and when it gets wet, it old days, the Pauley track era, they never took races off the turf here.
It would take an act of Congress,
right? I think there was one off the turf from the time I started working at Keeneland in 2001. Came in, they decided, well, turf, so we can take the races off the turf and horses will stay in, which in fact they did.
Right.
And, you know, so they started taking them off the turf, but I think I would be shocked if any of the races come off the turf today. The only one I could conceive of coming off the turf would be the Woodford, because it's a sprint and the starting gate situation would be a little dicey.
Yeah.
But I seriously doubt that one's coming off, too.
Well, let's tell you what's ahead over the course of the next 2 hours. Going to be very busy as we get you set for all of the Breeders' Cup Challenge action. Later today, of course, we're back at 4 Eastern with coverage of those challenge races, not only here at Keeneland, but up in New York as well. Our colleague Anthony Stabile will be positioned at Belmont Park. We will be here at Keeneland to bring you all of that coverage, 4 to 6 Eastern time. You can visit our website for a list of channel information and, of course, all of those affiliates listed on our site as well. But Jude, coming up this morning, after our first break here in just a moment, we're going to be joined by Charlie Lopresti, who is the trainer of multiple Horse of the Year, multiple champion, Wise Dan. Wise Dan will be paraded here at Keeneland today after the, I believe, after the third race or the second race. It's one of those. It's going to be early in the card.
Right.
They're going to have him out here parading, and it should be great to see the champ back out here, as he was recently retired by Charlie, and we'll look forward to seeing him, and Charlie's going to be our first guest of the morning.
Yeah, well, what a great horse, and what a great history he has here at Keeneland. A fan favorite, a Keeneland favorite, and just an awesome individual. I love Wise Dan.
We thought we were going to see him in action in the Breeders' Cup this year. He was trying to make another comeback, but Charlie doing the right thing by the horse and saying, you know what, it's just not going to happen. So he is now retired. He'll get to live out the rest of his days and right there in Charlie's backyard, pretty much.
Yeah, well, the thing about Wise Dan is he likes the racetrack. And I used to train a filly that liked the racetrack. I used to say that she would need to foal in a stall at Santa Anita because she had a knee surgery one time, and she went to the hospital, and she almost died. She
wow.
missed the track so much. And my vet, Dr. Stepp, said, you know, this filly's not doing good. And I said, send her back here, because I know how she is. She doesn't like to be away from the track. And he sent her back in, and she started eating again, put on weight. And
yeah.
So we nursed her back to health at the barn instead of at the hospital or at the farm. And she was so much happier.
Yeah.
So Wise Dan, the same kind of thing. He's just used to being on the track, and he likes the action in the barn, just like everybody that's in racing. It's in his blood.
Yeah, it is in his blood, and we're about 5 minutes away from talking to his trainer, Charlie Lopresti. Ron Winchell is going to be with us shortly after 8:30 Eastern time. Ron, of course, the principal of Winchell Thoroughbreds. They have had so many outstanding horses go through their program, including Untappable, who we're going to see tomorrow in the Judmont Spinster. Of course, she won the Breeders' Cup Distaff at Santa Anita last year. She'll try to punch her ticket to a return trip to that race tomorrow afternoon. And we're going to look forward to visiting with Ron later in the first half of the program. Michael Hernan from Gainesway will be with us right about 8:50 Eastern time, and he's going to tell you about the newest addition to their stallion roster, and it was a earth-shattering announcement, shall we say, earlier this week when they put it out there that Empire Maker, who has spent the last 5 years in Japan standing stud, will return to the United States and stand at Gainesway for the upcoming breeding season. So looking forward to visiting with Michael about that. And then Michael Hernan, John Gasper, Steve Castagnola with us for the entire second half of the show from 9 to 10 Eastern. We're going to preview all the big races here at Keeneland and up in New York. So a lot of things to get to. We'll do it next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Lane's End and Woodbine Entertainment.
Are you a believer?
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by 2.
32 lifetime starts, 23 in greatest stakes.
And Justin Phillip will do it. He was a monster in the mud.
12 times first or second in greatest stakes company.
And Justin Phillip will prove best in the Cal Fleet Sprint.
Justin Phillip retired sound, having recorded 9 buyer speed figures of 100 or better, and 3 times racking up rag sheet numbers of 2 and a quarter. Justin Phillip Phillips, first foals have arrived and are just like their daddy. Impressive, strong, and loaded with quality. Seeing is believing with Justin Phillip. Hashtag JustinBelievers. Standing at Castleton Lions alongside multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Gio Ponti's first crop of yearlings averaged nearly $100,000 in 2014, and his first crop of racing age hit the track this year. Justin Phillip and Gio Ponti, standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
First Samurai is America's best sire son of champion Giants Causeway. Already the sire of a champion, First Samurai has Grade 1 winners on both coasts.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
As well as graded stakes horses around the country.
And Lee has won the Dawn under Joel Rosario.
Get happy, mister, in front. Get happy, mister, has won it.
First Samurai, a proven sire of quality at Claiborne Farm.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Start now with your Kale Density Mare and Foal Feeding Program. Sales results were obvious at this year's Keeneland September Yearling Sale. Yearlings produced from mares fed Kale Density through their formative year were impressive, as well as horses trained and raced in 2014 and so far in 2015. Clean radiographs, conformity, strong bones, and overall health was the big winner at auction and on the track. Order your plan today at KaleDensity.com or call 877-744-9006 for more information.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And now Wise Dan looks for running room, but he's still sixth between horses, six lengths off the lead, a quarter mile to come, and they've all got to catch Silver Max, who's chased by Syed. Then Grand Arch, Wise Dan comes down the outside, the leader coming to the eighth pole. Here's Syed alongside of Silver Max. Grand Arch, Seek again diving to the rail, Kagan coming late, Wise Dan far outside, Wise Dan coming after Syed and Grand Arch. Wise Dan gets his head in front. The first $1 million race in Keeneland history, the Shadwell Turf Mile, to Wise Dan with a breathtaking stretch rally.
Kurt Becker with the call of last year's Shadwell Turf Mile, and Wise Dan getting the victory. It was his second victory in the Shadwell Turf, and he competed in that race four times. Pretty remarkable when you look at Wise Dan's resume and everything he was able to accomplish. We're going to be joined in just a few minutes by his trainer, Charlie Lopresti, as he looks back on that career. Again, Wise Dan will be paraded here at Keeneland early in the program here this afternoon, and can't wait to see the champ back out here at what is arguably his favorite racetrack, but he had no problems really anywhere that he went.
No, he was just so talented and a real bright spot. I mean, every time he was entered, it was exciting, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you know, I've seen a lot of horses in a lot of races, but he was a horse that really had me as a fan. I really thought he was cool and just a beautiful horse to watch train, and can't say enough nice things about Wise Dan.
Well, let's go ahead and remind you that as a 13-time leading stud farm, Lane's End has a proven track record of turning young stallions into leading sires, like The Factor, the top freshman sire by a yearling average that is 15 times his stud fee, or Union Rags, a Grade 1 winning 2-year-old and Classic winning 3-year-old who became the leading freshman sire by weanling average in 2014 and whose first yearlings realized up to $460,000. Then there's Twirling Candy, 2015's leading freshman sire by winners and 2-year-old average. Quality Road, the leading first crop sire by earnings and graded stakes winners in 2014. When it comes down to it, Lane's End stallions are made for success. To learn more about breeding opportunities with Lane's End, simply visit lanesend.com. Jude, it is a chilly day here in the Bluegrass that you don't think is nearly as cold as I do, but that's typical. It is 48 degrees. That's what my car said when I pulled into Keeneland this morning. And then you walk into Keeneland and the wind hits you, and it feels like it's 38 degrees.
It was actually, when I got here, it was actually 47.
So it warmed up a degree. I was about a half hour behind you.
Yeah. But it I don't know. I guess I got my sweatshirt on, and I didn't really faze me at all. But I'm a little bit more used to the cold, I guess, than you are. But and my teddy bear-like quality.
I grew up in Massachusetts.
But
you grew up in California. How can you be more used to it than I?
Well, I've lived on the East Coast, from Kentucky to the East Coast now for 14 years. So the California stuff, I mean, you know, you can put that away. That ship has sailed. I'm used to the cold and I don't like it. I mean, I much prefer Florida in the wintertime.
Yeah, oh, me too. Yeah, we're going to have to work on that, by the way.
Absolutely.
We should do that. We should just go to Florida for the whole winter, do our show from Gulfstream for a couple of months. Maybe we will.
I'm all in.
Maybe we will.
I just shoved all my chips in.
Was that foreshadowing? Is that a little tease in the radio business? Is that what they call it?
Yeah, it's a tease.
You're such a tease. All right, well, Charlie Lopresti is with us now, the man who conditioned Wise Dan. The champion is going to make an appearance here at Keeneland later this afternoon. He'll be paraded in front of this crowd on a bit of a chilly day, but that's okay. Wise Dan doesn't care. And I know Charlie won't care either, because when he looks at Wise Dan, he sees a horse that started 31 times, won 5 of those 31 starts, more than $7.5 million in earnings. He's a two-time winner of the Breeders' Cup Mile, and he recorded 6 Eclipse Awards. How about that? Charlie Lopresti with us now on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Charlie, as always, appreciate the time.
Well, thank you for having me, and I'm standing here looking at Wise Dan right now as we speak.
Well, you know, when you think about that career and you hear the accolades, and I go through those numbers, which are, you know, really staggering, what goes through your mind when you hear that and you think about everything that he accomplished?
Well, you know, he's just a dream come true, a horse like that. And I don't know where I'll ever find another one.
Yeah, that's always the concern when you lose such a star. They're impossible to replace. But it's really nice for you that you're going to get to keep him at the barn, because that's a horse that you're used to seeing every morning and you have such an affinity for and with. I think that's great that you're going to get to keep him at the barn.
Yeah, we do too. You know, I'm standing here petting on him right now. He's kind of mad at me. He doesn't understand why he's not in training. He doesn't understand why he's not running. His leg looks really good. And that was our biggest goal, is to retire him 100% sound, and where he could have a perfectly normal life. And we'll take him home and turn him out, actually, which was rather successful, Dan, for the winter, and let him have the winter off. And we'll probably bring him back here in the spring, and maybe we'll use him as our stable pony. We were talking about if he will make transition well, and he can. He likes being around the barn. He likes what he does, and I think if he can walk back and forth to the track with sets of horses and be part of our barn, that would be really good.
Charlie, talk about that day a few weeks ago when you finally realized that you're not going to be able to keep him in training and that he is going to have to be retired.
It was a sad day, really. I had him on the wash rack, and I noticed a little bump on his tendon. And you know, when you see something and you think, well, it's really not there, maybe it's just a bang or something. But the more I looked at it and the more I watched him walk around the barn, it just didn't look right to me. And that was Monday morning, right before we were going to Woodbine. I was like, dag on it. And anyway, I had the vet look at it. He said, I think we ought to at least ultrasound. It may be nothing. And when we ultrasound it, we've seen a little outside edge tear. And we just couldn't take him, you know. I mean, the thing about it is, if I ran him and he bowed a tendon or something like that, then, I mean, I just don't think he deserved that. And I didn't want to disgrace him and have him get beat and knowing that he had something wrong with him. So It was really disappointing. I mean, for a couple of days, I couldn't even talk about it because the horse was doing so good. It was freaky the way he was training this year. I mean, his work, so everybody followed him, and everybody here at Keeneland saw how he was working. And, he was really slated to run a really big race.
Was there any chance that after you turn him out for the winter, he would come back?
Well, you know, I got to tell you guys, I'm looking at it right now. You can hardly tell. But at that point, I was just, I don't know, I guess I thought enough is enough. We tried to bring him back, and this happened. And he's going to be 9 years old, and, you know, we would have manned another winter and bringing him back. And, you know, I just thought, he's done all that. I mean, he's done so much for us, and I just didn't want to risk having something else go wrong or really getting him hurt. I'd rather him, you know, live out his days as a sound 100% horse that can just be a horse and just be happy.
Charlie, he was one of those horses that really did seem to just keep getting better with age. He won 17 of his final 20 career starts, and with a pair of seconds in there as well. So 19 or 20, he's first or second. His final start came last year in the Shadwell Turf Mile. He wins that particular race and really looked to be in top form. You think about everything that this horse has done and the way he continued to get better. People are going to forget that as a three-year-old, he won the Grade 3 Phoenix at 6 furlongs on the dirt here at Keeneland as well.
Well, you know, that's the thing. People don't – I guess people – well, you guys, just what you said, realize what kind of horse that he really is. I don't think a lot of times he got a lot of credit for – you know, people just never gave him – well, I guess people did give him the credit, but he's a lot better horse than even everybody thinks about him. You know, I've heard so many people say, "Well, he never won a graded stake on the dirt." Well, that's not true. He won the, like you said, he won the Phoenix. He won the Grade One Clark. People forget that. And in the Stephen Foster, he got beat ahead in the Grade One on the dirt.
He should have won that day.
Huh?
And he should have won that day.
Exactly, should have won that day. It's synthetic. He holds the highest buyer ever on synthetic. He's got a 117 buyer. When he won the Ben Ali, he basically sprinted it for a mile and eighth, and John Velasquez was just hanging on the whole way. He's just an incredible horse, and I know, Mr. Finn, everybody talked about running this horse in the Breeders' Cup Classic, and Mr. Fink didn't want to do it. But I really was considerate this year. This horse was training lights out on the dirt. He worked 59 and change. He came home his last quarter in 22. And I told Mr. Fink, I said, this will probably be his last year. We talked about it after the injury he had last year. And I said, if he goes to Woodbine and he runs the way I think he's going to run and he trains on here to Breeders' Cup, I think we really ought to consider it. He said, you really think so? I said, I'm just telling you, this horse can win the Breeders' Cup Classic this year. I mean, I just think he's that good. And, you know, never get to know. And a lot of people thought I should have done it a couple of times. But, you know, I followed what Mr. Fink wanted to do and what we thought was best for Wise Dan. And he's had an incredible career doing it that way.
Charlie, almost right on cue, as you're talking about Wise Dan, the video monitor here at Keeneland was showing the replay of last year's Shadwell Turf and now showing him walking into the winner's circle with Johnny aboard. And that day, I know, very, very special to you, as it was for so many racing fans around the country and around the world. Just curious, how often do you go and pop in a DVD of some of his races and watch those replays?
Well, we do that quite often, but I tell you, that's going to be the hardest thing for me today is to watch some of those races when we parade them. I hope I don't get too emotional about it because, you know, he's just tagged on it. He's just taken us so many places and done so many nice things for us and for so many people in racing. I can tell you, we had two little children came by the barn about a month ago, and I didn't even know who they were, and they were with a man outside the barn, and they said, is there any shot we can see Wisedan? My kids just love him. And I said, well, here, come in the barn. And he told me as we were walking in the barn, they said they watched all his races this morning before they came out here. So you don't, you know, I guess you don't realize how much he's meant to the racing world and what he's done for the racing world.
Yeah, well, it's okay if you get emotional. That's the kind of horse that it's easy to get emotional about. Do you feel like a little bit of weight's been lifted off your shoulders with him being retired, that you don't have to worry about him as much as you used to?
Yeah, that's you know, you hit the nail on the head because you said, you know, is there any chance of him coming back? Yeah, there probably is a chance to bring him back, but tendons are hard to bring back, whether it's a little tendon or a big tendon or whatever. And I always worry about him getting hurt. And I guess that goes through every trainer's mind, because when they do what they do and they run as hard as they run, you know, you'll always have that fear of something going wrong. So I am relieved. I'm relieved in the fact that he's retired 100%. He's not hurt. And I can look back on all his races and all his tapes and all the pictures I got on the wall and just be proud of him and glad that we're going to have him to be around, hopefully, for a long time.
Well, Charlie, we'll look forward to seeing the champ back out here at Keeneland this afternoon. I know that will certainly be an emotional time for you, and I want to thank you for all your time here on the program. You're always great, and I want to wish you all the best moving forward with Wisedan and with all of your horses, and look forward to seeing you out here this afternoon.
Well, thanks a lot. We really appreciate it.
All right, Charlie LaPresti here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And like all of our guests who appear on the program, we'll receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. No doubt it will be emotional for him when he brings Wisedan back over here this afternoon.
Oh, yeah, and not only for Charlie, but for a lot of people, you know, he's a very special horse. And I think that little story about the girls.
Yeah.
Illustrates, you know, when a couple of kids who have all the trappings of you know, what we have nowadays, social media and computers and all that, and, you know, they're interested in coming to see a racehorse. I mean, that's really, really cool. And, you know, Wisedan, fantastic horse. I mean, we're watching that race on the big screen here,
yeah.
You know, and you just go, wow.
Fired up Johnny was,
yeah,
after the race, right? When
yeah.
he crossed the finish line, he's pumping his fists, and you could tell that just he was overcome with emotion as well.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, it's just a very cool horse and a real bright spot for thoroughbred racing for several years.
Ron Winchell from Winchell Thoroughbreds coming up in just about 6 or 7 minutes, but first it is time for your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty, right here in Lexington, Kentucky. And I tell you all the time, if you're in the horse business, you need to go see the Godfather, Tony Ottiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus Store. They are horse people, the people make the difference, and they want to be the dealership of the equine industry in central Kentucky. You go see them, the Godfather, Tony Ottiano, and you tell them that the Baron sent you in and told you to say hello.
Racing for his breeder, Mrs. Phipps Wheatley Sable, this horse won the juvenile, youthful, and the paternity as a 2-year-old. At 3, he was Horse of the Year after chalking up scores in the Flamingo, Wood Memorial, Preakness, Bahamas, Trenton, Queens County, Vosburgh, and Benjamin Franklin handicaps. He equaled the track record in the Bahamas in going the 7-panel distance in 1:22 flat. He set a new track record in winning the Vosburgh 7 furlongs in 1:21.4, a new track record for 9 furlongs in copping the Flamingo in 1:47 flat, and went the same distance in nailing down the Wood in 1:48.4. As a 3-year-old, are you listening out there, horseman? He was asked to shoulder 136 pounds in winning the Ben Franklin. He packed 130 in the Vosburgh, the highest weight ever shouldered by a 3-year-old in that event. At the age of 4, He won the Toboggan under 133 pounds, the Carter under 135, the Stymie packing 133, and the Suburban and the Monmouth toting 134 pounds. When he hung up his running shoes, as it were, he had started 33 times and had won 23 with 4 seconds and two-thirds. He became the leading sire with only two crops of racing age in 1963, and his stud services very quickly rose to the level of almost being beyond affordability. His reign as leading North American sire for seven consecutive seasons was not only heretofore unmatched, but not even remotely approached at that time in the 20th century. Bull Lee and Lexington had stood alone in their time, but this horse literally dwarfed all his competitors in the breeding shed in terms of successive progeny on the racetrack. There was a question raised from time to time regarding his ability to impart stamina to his get, although he had won in the 1 3/16 mile Preakness and the 1 1/4 mile Trenton Suburban and Monmouth handicaps. The vast majority of his get exhibited blazing speed on the racetrack. There were a number of his get, however, that could be classified as stayers, including among those would be Lamb Chop, Bateur, Bull Bitter, Stahanas, Bull Dower, Dewan, Successor, and Gamely, just to name a few. They were all winners in stakes company at 1 1/4 miles or better. He was a leading sire of two-year-olds for 5 seasons, 3 of those consecutively. The uninterrupted 8-year reign at stud for this horse, and 12 years in all, including that of his sire Nazrella, is a record to this day for a father-son combination. His progeny often did not have extended racing careers. They were too valuable at stud. Just hearken to this list in addition to those already mentioned, and really, time precludes doing due justice to this prodigious and lengthy compilation. Bull Commander, Bull Princess, Speedwell, Bull Queen, Beautiful Day, Chieftain, Bull Lad, Time for Bed, Cornish Prince, Bold Experience, Jacinto, Staunchness, Jove, Bold Nesian, Queen Empress, Great Power, My Boss Lady, Disciplinarian, Master Bull, What a Pleasure, Big Advance, Virginia Delegate, Irish Castle, Raja Baba, Plumbold, and on. In a word, absolutely awesome. This particular titan of the turf was foaled at Claiborne April 6, 1954, and that was a most noteworthy indeed day for that farm and racing as a whole. You see, 1/2 hour after this foal was dropped, another foal was brought into the racing world who in time on the racetrack became the world's leading money winner, Round Table. The marvelous thoroughbred that has been the subject of this dissertation went his way to the great paddock in the sky, July 12, 1971, and with him went a remarkable record on the racetrack and in the breeding shed. He was Bull Ruler.
And that is your Lexus Legends of the Turf for this morning, brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington. We're back to visit with Ron Winchell from Winchell Thoroughbreds right after this word from the Lexus Store.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus Store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus Store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus Store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus Store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
Come see a Breeders' Cup preview of some of the nation's best sprinters in Saturday's Grade 1 $300,000 Santa Anita Sprint Championship. With first post time at 1 p.m., the sprint is our main event on a big 10-race program. Additionally, the great Eddie De La Housse will be on hand Saturday to present the trophy for the Grade 3 Eddie D Stakes at 6.5 furlongs down the hillside turf. Visit santaanita.com for details and more information. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Power.
And he's pulling away, and Frosted has won the Wood Memorial.
Passion.
Holding off Lee as they come down to the finish. Constitution of the Dawn.
Performance.
Ring Weekend and Drayton Van Dyke up to win the Kilrow.
Gainsway Stallion Tappet has once again been sensational in 2015. The champion sire is North America's leading sire this year, represented by four 2015 Grade 1 winners. Wood Memorial winner Frosted, Ring Weekend, who scored in the Frank E. Kilrow Mile, Don Handicap winner Constitution, and Untappable, winner of the Apple Blossom at Oaklawn. Overall, Tappet has sired 17 lifetime Grade 1 winners, 40 graded stakes winners, 11 millionaires, and 6 champions. Tappet is also ranked number 1 in the sales ring in both North America and Europe, with 2015 yearlings averaging more than 952,000. Tappet, standing at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
This is Jockey Rajiv Maharaj, and I love the Horse Racing Radio Network, the best show on the planet.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Now Untappable comes to take them on. Rhea Antonia is running a big one. Something wrong with Close Hatches today. Close Hatches is gone at the top of the lane. And it's Untappable now up to take them on. Untappable, Aya Tapper battling back along the inside. And now here comes Don't Tell Sophia. Don't Tell Sophia coming fast. But it's Untappable in front. Untappable the leader. Don't Tell Sophia flying on the outside. Untappable's going to get there. Won it! Close for second, Io Tapper and a flying Don't Tell Sophia. Then Rhea Antonia and Unbridled Forever.
Trevor Denman with the call of last year's breeder Distaff, Untappable, dominating that race at Santa Anita. She is back in action tomorrow here at Keeneland in the Grade 1 Win and You're In Judmont Spinster, a race you're going to hear right here with us on the Horse Racing Radio Network, coast to coast and worldwide. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, back with you at a chilly Keeneland race course in Lexington. Temperatures early this morning only in the 40s as we pulled in shortly before the show at 8 o'clock Eastern. My car said 48 degrees, and it's going to continue to be, well, the struggle really to get into the low to mid-50s throughout the afternoon. More rain is forecast throughout the day. So looking at a soft turf course and a off-main track, whether it's sloppy or muddy, for all the races coming up today. Of course, tomorrow when Untappable goes, the forecast much better. Supposed to be in the low 70s, plenty of sunshine, and we should have a fast track tomorrow afternoon.
Well, you're very optimistic.
How about that? Hey, all I can tell you is what my iPhone is telling me.
Your iPhone's telling you that it's going to be a fast track?
The weather thing on there. You know, you check the weather. How else do you do?
Did Siri say
I don't know how to use Siri. I always get in a fight. I cannot figure Siri out. I'm not a fan.
You shouldn't fight with Siri.
I'm not. Well,
she's very nice.
We have a conflict of interest sometimes. All right, I'm going to introduce our next guest. Is that okay with you?
Absolutely.
And that is Mr. Ron Winchell, the man behind Winchell Thoroughbreds. They have campaigned countless of greatest stakes winners and champions. Untappable, their latest. And as I mentioned, she's back in action here tomorrow. And Ron is with us now on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Ron, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, happy to have you on board. And looking at your champion that you'll see out here tomorrow, and you look at her record, 9 wins and 16 starts. She's been on the board in 14 of those 16 lifetime outings. She's earned more than $3.7 million. How special is Untappable?
Well, that's really hard to describe. I mean, for our operation, she's absolutely phenomenal. You know, her 2014 year was fantastic. You know, we had two goals that year, to win the Oaks and then win the Breeders' Cup Distaff. And, you know, obviously she was able to accomplish that. And so, yeah, I can't say enough about her, really.
Yeah, after that win in the Breeders' Cup last year, she came back two starts later to take the Apple Blossom, which was in April of this year. And then since, she's recorded a couple of second-place finishes, third last time out in the personal Ensign. How's she coming up to this race tomorrow?
Well, if I can give you any insight into, you know, Capital's 2015 campaign, it's really, I think back and it really culminates into a conversation I had with Steve Asmussen prior to, you know, her New York starts. You know, he asked me, he said, do you want to win these races or do you want to win the Breeders' Cup Distaff this year? And of course, you know, he already knew the answer to that, which is, you know, our operation basically is focused on races like the Breeders' Cup. And so the decision was to train her, you know, somewhat lightly throughout the year and then, you know, essentially put your foot on the gas pedal toward the end of the year and, you know, try to win those races. And I think that's basically what you've seen all year is, we thought we had a pretty good chance with that type of plan of winning races in New York, but not the best chance. And, you know, now it's go time, and the Spinster and the Breeders' Cup are, you know, where we're at, and we'll see how that plan works out.
You talk about your operation. It's a lifetime of racing for you. Your father, one of the great California owners, a guy that supported racing for many, many years. What's it been like for you, your journey through racing during your lifetime?
Well, I mean, yeah, my journey really started out as back in my earliest memories, you know, growing up right near Santa Anita and, you know, great memories and going to the track when I was a kid. And, you know, we had some nice horses back then. And it's put me in a position where, you know, my dad did a great job of putting together some potent and productive mares. And, you know, it's put me in a position where, you know, along came Tappet and we've been able to couple, you know, the nice mares that we've had on the farm for years and years and put that together with Tappet, and it's really given us a chance to, put together a successful formula. So, you know, I owe a lot to the history and the amount of time and the people that have been with us for a long time, like David Fisk, and done a phenomenal job and, you know, putting us, I guess, on the map for why we're sitting here today on this radio program talking.
Yeah, Ron, a lot of people are going to forget that Tappet began his career in those maroon and white Windchill colors and, of course, won the Grade 3 Laurel Futurity in those colors as well. And so many of your top horses, including Untappable, have been by Tappet, Tappature being one, Tapazar another one. Talk about looking and developing horses that are by Tappet. I mean, how important is that to your program?
I mean, it's essentially, right now, it's essentially the backbone of our program. And, you know, it's, given us, he's the backbone, the anchor, if you will. And, yeah, it just puts us in a very advantageous position. As potent as he is, he culminates a lot of conversations, obviously, around our farm. And we're just fortunate to really be part of that. And you view him almost like the lottery ticket when it comes to stallions. So he's a huge part of it.
Well, he's been such so freakishly successful at the sales. I mean, every time they lead one in, the price just goes up and up and up, and that's got to be very gratifying for you and also very profitable.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's essentially, you look back and it's what you dream about, having a horse, being part of a stallion like that. And obviously, Gainesway has been doing a great job, and when it comes to the sales aspect, and it's what you dream about in this business. And sometimes you got to wake up and go, okay, this is part reality now, and it's hard to believe, actually.
Visiting with Ron Winchell of Winchell Thoroughbreds, of course, Untappable going to the post tomorrow in the Grade 1 Judmont Spinster, hoping for a return trip to the Breeders' Cup Distaff right here at Keeneland, October 30th and 31st. Ron, during the Saratoga meet, I had the opportunity to visit with trainer Steve Asmussen for a full hour on our Trainer Talk program, and it was such an enjoyable visit, and so many people that listened to that show said that they learned or at least saw a different side of Steve Asmussen than we often see in the public and in the media. And that relationship that you've had with him spans quite some time. Talk about that relationship and why it's been so successful.
That relationship goes, you know, way back. His father has been breaking horses for us almost, I guess, back into the early 90s, you know, probably 90, 91. And, you know, Steve was, you know, a lot younger then, obviously, and he was, I think, a kid in high school that was helping his dad break horses. So our relationship goes way back. You know, Steve's a pretty straightforward guy, and it's something I appreciate when you send him a horse, and you know, it's not, no matter how much that horse costs or how much, how high you think you are on it, he'll just give you a straight opinion, and I really appreciate that. You know, some people probably don't like that, but one thing about Steve, you'll get a direct, straight opinion, and I think that I feel like he's always looked out for our best interests, which is probably a tough thing in this business when it comes to trainers and people within the business. But that's definitely how I feel, how, you know, our relationship's been over the years, and it continues, really.
Yeah, and Steve went through a very difficult year last year with the New York Times article coming out, making some accusations against him and his operation. But, Ron, you were unflappable. You never wavered, and you stuck with Steve. Talk about the reasoning behind that decision.
Yeah, you know, I get asked this question often, you know, well, not recently, but, you know, in the past. And it really was in the question for me of, you know, staying or not staying, because everything that you heard and you read, you know, wasn't my experience of what I saw when, you know, every time we visit, you know, Steve's operation or throughout the years. And so it really, you know, when I looked at it, it was, well, my experience and what I'm hearing are two different things. And so there wasn't a doubt in my mind that, you know, we were going to stay with him, because I couldn't find any factual, you know, evidence to anything I was hearing. And so that really was the reason for, you know, me doing what I did, really.
Well, I thought it was very admirable of you to stick with your trainer and use your own judgment, because I imagine there was a lot of pressure on you to make another decision. But your father was a loyalist as well. Cecil Jolly trained for him for so many years and you know, had an outstanding run with the Winchell horses. And so I wasn't surprised when that all went down.
But, I mean, you're right. There was actually a lot of pressure. You know, I've had a lot of friends and stuff when that was happening that said, you know, you need to look at a different trainer. And it's, you know, just something I couldn't do personally based on stuff that wasn't factual. So, you know, it's nice that it finally came around and, you know, people realize that, you know, the reality of it, and it's all seemed to work out nice now. So, and I'm grateful for that, actually.
Ron Winchell, Winchell Thoroughbreds, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Ron, you mentioned the ultimate goal being another victory in the Breeders' Cup Distaff when Untappable defends her title in 4 weeks' time. Look ahead. Do you allow yourself to do that? I know you still have to get past the Spencer tomorrow, but do you allow yourself to think about what that moment would be like to win it right here in the heart of the Bluegrass?
I think in this business, you're always looking ahead. You know, you just planning ahead, looking ahead, and then you hope that everything you're doing at the moment is actually going to work out. And, you know, like I said before, you know, the idea with Untappable was light, training her lightly and, you know, winning, I guess, you know, these two races, really, the prep and the Breeders' Cup. So, yeah, you know, we imagine it all the time, and, you know, whether it becomes reality, I guess, you know, we'll find out at the end of October, really.
Ron Winchell, Winchell Thoroughbreds, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, he'll receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Ron, we appreciate all the time, my friend, and all the best tomorrow with Untappable and moving forward to the Breeders' Cup as well.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Ron Winchell on HRRN. We're going to get to another break. We'll come back and visit with Michael Hernan from Gainesway, that big announcement coming out this past week about Empire Maker. Returning to the United States after 5 years in Japan, he will stand at Gainesway for the upcoming breeding season. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
I'm back with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, why are we seeing more horsemen around the world using Flair strips?
Mike, I think more horsemen are realizing the simple fact that breathing easier is critical for horses' health and performance. When running, horses are bringing in about 10 bathtubs of air every minute through the narrowest part of the airway that collapses at speed. What the strips do is support the tissue in that region so it collapses less, so horses bring the air in more efficiently.
Breathe easy with Flair Strips. FlairStrips.com.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
There are millions of reasons to get involved in the fastest growing promotion in horse racing and the third richest thoroughbred event in the United States, the Daily Racing Form NTRA National Handicapping Championship. Whether it's online or on track, start playing today for $2.5 million in prize money and an Eclipse Award as Horse Player of the Year. Join the DRF NHC Tour today and start planning your trip to NHC in Las Vegas. Go to nhctour.com for details.
Earn a lifetime breeding in Danza, a dominant Grade 1 winner and a leading three-year-old of his generation. Half-brother to Grade 1 winner Majestic Harbor, Danza defeated top three-year-olds such as Byron, Strong Mandate, and Commissioner.
Danza, in a sparkling performance, is making short work of the Arkansas Derby field. Danza is the boss as he wins by five.
To learn how easy it is to earn your lifetime breeding, contact Spendthrift Farm today.
Want to know what we're up to?
Yeah.
Then log on to horseracingradio.net.
It appears that the website has become alive.
Horseracingradio.net is your official home for HRRN on the web. Read our blogs, download our podcasts, link up to our Twitter and Facebook pages, listen to live streaming of all of our broadcasts, and much more. HRRN is your home for racing's biggest events, and our home on the web is horseracingradio.net. That's horseracingradio.net.
The Breeders' Cup runs here.
What a memorable Breeders' Cup Classic. It's a race for the ages. Bayern, Toast of New York, California Chrome. Bayern, Toast of New York, Bayern has won it.
The Breeders' Cup, October 30th and 31st. Exclusively here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by Cal Density. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information and to listen live.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia.
My name is Paco Lopez.
This is Jose Lescano.
This is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They are coming to the top of the lane, and it's still Mike Smith and Royal Doubt are the ones to catch. Mind the Sorelia crying out for room at the rail. Going to have to walk out. Include Me Out running a huge one in the center. Include Me Out. Royal Delta, Mind the Sorelia, three tremendous horses in a thrilling stretch ride. Royal Delta digs deep and starts to inch clear. Mind the Sorelia stretching her, but the more they ask, the more Royal Delta gain. What a tremendous filly! Royal Delta and Mike Smith have won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic. A very gay Mind the Sorelia second, and a huge run from Include Me Out in third.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, positioned above the finish line here at Keeneland in Lexington, Kentucky, getting set for all that coverage coming up this afternoon, 4 o'clock Eastern Time. You can tune in Sirius XM Channel 93, which is exactly where you're listening now, and, of course, worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net, and on terrestrial affiliates across the country. We'll have coverage of all the Breeders' Cup Challenge action coming up later today, not just here at Keeneland, but at Belmont Park as well. Fun visit with Charlie Lopresti and with Ron Winchell in the first half of the show. If you missed any portion, you can go to our website, horseracingradio.net. Check out the podcast of this show and all of our programs, all there on our site at horseracingradio.net. I told you that there was some big news coming out on the stallion front this week, and It really was huge news. Is Empire Maker going to return to the United States? He has spent the last five seasons in Japan and will now return here, and he will stand at Gainesway Farm and stand alongside the outstanding leading sire, Tappet, among other outstanding stallions at Gainesway. And Michael Hernan from Gainesway is with us now on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Congratulations, my friend. Big news.
Big news indeed. And we're thrilled and delighted to have secured Empire Maker, who will come back at the end of October and join the stallions. And, of course, he brings a huge addition to the roster. And having Tappet there already and now him, it's just exciting days. We had a great sale here at Keele in September. Gainesway led all consigners by average and median. We sold the high-selling colt, a Tappet colt, for $2.1 million, the next high-selling colt, and then the top filly. Don Alberto, who partner with us on Empire Maker, want to send a special thank you to Francis Relihan and George Mundy over there. Carlos Heller was the principal in driving this deal. Fernando Diaz assisted, and a French agent, California-based Emmanuel Dessereau. So it was a great coup for the farm. He's a wonderful horse. He looks terrific. I went over there, saw him myself, and we picked up a couple of babies by Empire Maker to sell back next year, along with some other U.S. representatives who picked up some additional progeny by Empire Maker. Horse looks great, and, you know, he speaks for himself. He was a top racehorse, of course. It's a fabulous pedigree, and we couldn't be more pleased.
Why is he such a good fit for American breeders?
Well, for many reasons. You know, pedigree, performance, he's proven, he's attractive, he's commercial. Of course, he's elevated this year by the superb Triple Crown winner, American Pharaoh, the emergence of his own son, Pioneer of the Nile, who is the sire of Empire Maker and is a very good stallion in his own right. And then, of course, you have the emergence of Empire Maker's son, Bodemeister, in the market here. He was the leading freshman sire. His average, I think, through book one was 284,000. So he's a very promising young stallion in his own right. So having his father, the sire of Pioneer of the Nile, the emergence of a Triple Crown winner, it all led our focus and attention to Empire Maker.
And, of course, we heard that rejoin clip of Royal Delta winning the Breeders' Cup Distaff. She's also a daughter of Empire Maker, and she was pretty darn good.
Well, Empire Maker himself was pretty darn good. Bobby Frankel said it was the best horse he ever trained. I think that qualifies him right there as a top-notch stallion prospect, if nothing else, and he's certainly proven himself in that regard. I mean, there were so many people that were distressed when he left the country.
Yeah.
I got to think that people are clamoring for seasons to him now. What's going on at the farm, Michael?
Yeah, we were very pleased with the initial response to Empire Maker. We've had significant breeders request seasons, and we'll, continue to field those requests. Anthony Beck and I will get together after the Breeders' Cup, when we'll set the stud fee, and then we'll go through the mares as we do with Tappet. And, one key thing, as with Tappet, we limit the book to 135 mares. We try and balance the book between breeders who race, so end users, and then commercial breeders. That policy has worked for us well. Tappet was the leading sire by gross here at Keele in September. He's just having an extraordinary year, and the policy of 135 mares, I think, is most pragmatic. It looks after the customer base. It looks after the stallion in his own right. You can book to the horse and get to the horse. Tappet is enormously fertile horse, and he stops many of his mares on one cover. And then again, we go back to the market where he averaged 605,000 this year on yearlings. He had a 1,850,000 colt in Japan who sold there when I was there. He had the $2 million colt in Saratoga sold by Four Stars. And then we sold the high-selling yearling colt of the year thus far here in America with a colt who made $2.1 million from the Gainsway consignment to Mandy Pope. Stubborn underbidder was Bob Baffert in conjunction with Kaleem Shaw and John Secura. So it's a policy that works. It looks after the horse. It looks after the customer.
Yeah, Gainsway has always done a tremendous job with supporting their stallions as well, and I'm sure, Michael, that's already in the pipeline, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we have an agreement with co-owner Don Alberto to send between the two of us 40 mares, and consequently that further limits the supply of the product. So we expect an excellent book to Empire Maker. And, you know, he's going to command that in his own right. And he's obviously capable of siring very top horses, be they colts or fillies. And he's a huge addition to the farm.
Yeah, exciting news on the stallion front. Empire Maker returning to the United States and standing at Gainsway for the upcoming breeding season. Of course, you can read all about that at Gainsway.com, and you can learn about all their stallions right there on their website as well. Going to get you set for hour number two. Michael will be back with us. He'll be joined by John Gasper and Steve Castagnola to handicap all the big races coming up here at Keeneland and at Belmont Park as well. As we mentioned, 7 Winning Your In Challenge races on tap for this afternoon. Our coverage beginning 4 o'clock Eastern here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Do want to remind you, though, that on Sunday, October 18th, you can watch and wager on the $1 million Pattison Canadian International live from Woodbine. You can see the best horses from countries like Ireland, Germany, England, France, Australia, the United States, and, of course, Canada. And with $1 million on the line, you can be sure they're all going to bring their A game with them to Woodbine. You can wager early on the early pick 4, guaranteed at $300,000. And the late pick 4, that pool is guaranteed at $500,000. And Woodbine will also be offering 20-cent bet minimums on all Triactor, you like that, Superfecta, pick 3, and pick 4 pools. And the Pattison Canadian International comes up Sunday, October 18th. It's live from Woodbine, first post 1 p.m. For more information, visit CanadianInternational.com or visit at Woodbine Racing on Twitter. We're back with hour number 2 right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Celebrating 10 years of Eclipse award-winning coverage. Thank you for making HRRN your home for a decade of memories.
Here with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what would be a common misunderstanding between an insured and the insurance company?
Mike, one issue is a policy condition that requires notification when an insured animal becomes sick or injured.
Do you mean in life-threatening situations?
Not just then, but if a veterinarian is called in for treatment other than routine care. Take, for example, if a yearling colt gets his foreleg caught in a fence and tears the skin. The colt is stitched up and everything seems fine, but later the colt develops a systemic infection. Then there is a serious situation that the company knows nothing about.
So the company needs to know, even if it's not a life-threatening situation.
That's right. It's a policy condition. The company has a stake in the health of the animal because of the existing insurance policy. The company might want to have its own vet examine the horse. In most cases, though, just a call or email is all that is needed.
For all your equine and general insurance needs, including farm owners, liability, homeowners, auto, and more, contact Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
And they're off to New York, the premier state bred program in the United States. When you own a New York bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York breds, get with the program. The best program.
Adina Springs added Macho Uno's best son, Mucho Macho Man, to their stallion roster for the 2015 breeding season. And with 95% of his mares getting in foal, he certainly took to his new job well. Mucho Macho Man earned $5.6 million on the track, culminating in his thrilling victory in the 2013 Breeders' Cup Classic over Will Take Charge and Declaration of War.
On the outside, Declaration of War, Will Take Charge. Mucho Macho Man just keeps on finding on the lead. Will Take Charge, a late run. Oh, it's close. Mucho Macho Man, the more they asked, the more he gave.
Few horses can be multiple graded placed at two, run in all three legs of the Triple Crown, and then go on to become a Breeders' Cup Classic winner as an older horse. And all this from a foal born June 15th. Visit AdinaStallions.com to learn more about Mucho Macho Man and all the Adina Stallions.
Hey, it's Corey Lannery. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End and Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The 37-year wait is over. American Foe is finally the one. American Foe has won the Triple Crown.
Chicago's about to erupt. The Illinois Red, the Pizza Man, just won the Arlington Million under Pharrell Giroux.
As they come down to the 16th pole, it is Texas Red in front. Frosted runs at him. Texas Red, Frosted, a dramatic Jim Dandy, and Texas Red has won it.
Beholder, once again, is just making this look so easy. It is Beholder in an absolute canter, being geared down late by Gary Stevens. Beholder in a formality.
Now, here's Mike Pena and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum rolling on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld. We are with you from Keeneland Racecourse here in Lexington. A bit of a chilly start to this day, and it's not going to get much better. Temperatures starting in the 40s. We're going to be on our way to the low to mid 50s. It is gray, it is overcast, and it is going to be raining throughout the afternoon. At least that is what the forecast is predicting at this point. Yesterday, a sloppy track on opening day. Today, much of the same predicted. Of course, the turf course, because of the rain we've had the past couple of days, is going to have some give to it. So keep that in mind as you are handicapping. An update here, the Woodford, which is set to be contested, is race number five. That's the first of five graded stakes here at Keeneland this afternoon, has now been taken off the turf. So it will be run on the main track. We'll have more updates for you, hopefully, as we move throughout the program here in the second half of the show. Jude, as I mentioned, it is a bit chilly, but that's not going to deter so many people from coming out because of the fact that we do have those five graded stakes and we do have three win-in-your-in races for the Breeders' Cup.
Well, it's a great card, depending on scratches, and we won't get those till much later in the morning probably, but you know, there's a lot of nice horses entered today, so you would imagine a lot of racing fans will be out here. But there's some competition. Got the Cats playing, the game sold out, and the weather may keep a few people away, especially in light of the fact that tomorrow's supposed to be such a beautiful day here.
Well, we are joined by our trio of handicappers. We've done this for you for the past, well, before I was involved with this program, and that dates back 13 years. And Michael Hernan from Gainesway, John Gasper is here, and Stevie Castagnola as well. And Stevie, welcome to the program, my friend. Happy to have you back.
Wonderful to be back. When I walk up those stairs into the press box, I know everything is right in the world when I see Jude, yourself, and our good friends Michael and John. So looking forward to a good show and a great day of racing.
How about our producer, Sean? He doesn't count?
Sean, well, he's doing a great job pushing the buttons, as you say. Sorry, Sean.
Poor Chauncey. John Gasper, I love the hat.
Yeah, well, the colors are a little bit off, but that's okay. Yeah,
well, like I said, they were off Thursday night, I can tell you that.
Yeah, they're going to be off for a while.
I think we should switch to purple and black, don't you?
Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah, wow. No. But Steve's pretty much said it all. A lot of nice horses in today. It's too bad that the weather is what it is, but You know, I think if we don't get any more rain, the track will probably just be listed as maybe muddy or too good. But I don't know what the forecast is holding up. But yesterday I thought that the track played pretty fair, you know, all day. There was some speed. There was horses coming from back. So as far as the handicapping part of it goes, I think that I wouldn't let the mud, so to speak, you know, kind of derail me from saying, oh, this horse can't win because he's coming from back or whatever. So I think it was pretty fair yesterday.
And because we're not on television, people have no idea what I'm talking about with John's cap. We're wearing the identical cap, actually. It's our Embrace the Race HRN cap, which, yeah, they are the colors of the Pittsburgh Steelers. They are black and gold. Michael Hernan is here from Gainesway. Michael, welcome back, my friend. Here we go again.
Glad to be here, and it's a little tough day, but that'll blow out next week, and we'll be back to sunshine and 75. I understand from the Farmer's Almanac that Breeders' Cup weekend here is going to be sunny and in the 60s, so we'll all keep our fingers crossed for them. It's a great weekend of racing here, however, at Keeneland and in New York. And then, of course, tomorrow, Sunday, we see the fabulous Trev attempt to take a record third Arc de Triomphe at Longchamp. And then the highlight of the day will be Ireland play in the World Cup rugby.
There you go.
Can't wait. Wow. Can't wait for that one.
What time does that is it kickoff? Is that how they do it?
I believe tomorrow it's about a 3 o'clock US start, so there'll be a cast of characters down in McCarthy's pub, and we sincerely hope Pat Costello only sings Molly Malone once.
I might have to make a trip down there for this.
Well, don't forget we're on the air.
Oh, yeah.
You might miss
maybe we
the
should
first
do the
half.
Show from there.
Now you're talking.
There's
I'm all in for that. If you want to do the show from there, I'm all in. But we won't be able to get a TV to watch the races on.
Oh, that's outstanding. All right, so what we're going to do, we'll go in order. We'll take a look at the Keeneland Stakes first. We will skip the Woodford because that race is now, as I mentioned, off the turf. It's going to be contested on the main track, so there's going to be some scratches. We don't know who's going to stay in and come out, so we'll skip that race. We'll begin with the Grade 2 Thoroughbred Club of America. It is race number 6. It carries a purse of $250,000. 6 furlongs on the main track, which is still off, and if we do get the rain that's forecast throughout the afternoon, it is going to remain that way. This race for the fillies and mares, 3-year-olds and up, and Stevie Castagnola, we'll start with you.
Well, yeah, race 6, the Thoroughbred Club of America, kicks off the $250,000 guaranteed all-stakes pick 4, and there will be a lot of singles to kick off this wager. The 3, Judy the Beauty, comes in here, is clearly the horse to beat. She's 4-for-4 at Keeneland. She owns 3 wins, 3 seconds in 7 starts over the distance. She's never been off the board. And Wesley Ward, Mike Smith, comes in to ride. And she looks certainly the one to beat. If there was one question mark against her, it would be that she's never run on an off track. But she's by Ghost Zapper out of a Holy Bull mare, which would make me think it could even move her up several lengths. So it's really hard to look past number 3, Judy the Beauty. Like I said, going to be singled on a lot of those pick 4 tickets. Maybe if you wanted to slot something in underneath in an exacta, maybe take a look at the 6 spelling again. A former $50,000 claimer goes out for the very sharp Brad Cox outfit. Sean Bridgemahan aboard. This filly's coming off a stakes win in the Open Mind Stakes last time out. Was game in that effort over the 6 furlong distance. Ran a very snappy 109-4. She's a filly that seems to be in good form, and she should be a square price. So the race goes to the 3, Judy the Beauty, and maybe I'll look for the 6 to sneak in there and fill out the exacta.
Yeah, good rematch between the last 2 winners of this race, with Judy the Beauty taking it in 2013, Lee Court winning it last year. She'll try to defend that title this afternoon. Johnny, how'd you see the Thoroughbred Club of America?
About the same way. I mean, it's Lee Court hadn't won since she won this race last year, so she's only had 2 starts this year, and both of them, there's a lot of speed in here too, so Judy the Beauty doesn't have, she's not quite as quick as some of these horses, and she's down inside, but there's plenty of pace to that she's going to be able to run into, and if she gets a good trip, I think obviously she'll be the one to beat.
Michael Hernan?
ditto on all that. You know, those guys have covered it well. You've got the dominant filly, Judy the Beauty, who's going to be odds on. She's unbeaten here at Keeneland, as Steve mentioned, and it looks like her race to lose, really. Interesting, Wesley Ward, trainer, gave her last breeze on the turf here. So you got a little turf back to a sloppy track angle, but I expect her to come through down the center of the track and take the Thoroughbred Club. Number three, Judy the Beauty, and the sixth at Keeneland.
All right, JT, I'm going to ask you this question because Judy the Beauty is the unanimous choice of our panel here this morning. Judy the Beauty is a perfect 4-for-4 here at Keeneland, but all of those wins came on the synthetic. So can she be as effective on this dirt course here today?
Oh, yeah, she runs on anything. I mean, she's already won many times, on the dirt and the turf. So I don't think it's going to be a problem for her. If she brings her A game, she's going to be very tough. I wouldn't count Lee Court out. Big jockey switched to Victor Espinosa, so you know she's going to get left, and she'll run the same kind of race that she ran here last year, coming from off the pace. I think it'd be a little change of tactics here. I think she'll sit. You won't see her rushing up like she's been doing in her last couple starts. She's a very nice filly, and she's never been on the off track either, but she's certainly bred for it. As well, if you're looking for an exacta or trifecta horse at a number, the rail horse, Hey Kitty Kitty Kitty, is first or second 5 out of 5 on an off track. So you might want to toss her on your ticket.
Okay, that Grade 2 Thoroughbred Club of America comes up as race 6, 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific time. It will be followed by the Grade 1 First Lady. Now, again, this is a 1-mile turf event. We've told you throughout the program that the turf course is soft. It will have plenty of give to it this afternoon. As of now, this race is still on the turf. $400,000 purse, fillies and mares, 3-year-olds and up, and a field of 11, and even a few Europeans to factor in here, Stevie.
Yeah, I think for me, of the North American-based fillies, the outside horse number 11, Tepin, has in Andy Byer's book what he would consider a quadruple Byer advantage. Her last 4 Byer speed figures, 101, 101, 101, and 100, and that is better than anything any of the other North American-based runners have run. So interesting that the last 2 times Tepin has run, she's drawn the rail. Now she goes to the outside, so she's bookended on her post-position draws. Julian should be able to get a good trip. Mark Cassie obviously started on fire yesterday. 2 very impressive debut, 2-year-old, not debut, but 2-year-old winners. So I think you got to look at Tepin, and then you got to figure out which of these Europeans are going to give her the run. It looks like Easter and Outstanding, the 5 and the 7, both for Aidan O'Brien, and both come out of the same last race, a race won by Jack Naylor. Easter got the better of Outstanding by 3/4 of a length that day. I don't know how you separate the two of them. And the other European horse is Crowley's Law, who actually had a prep in the Noble Damsel, was beaten a length by Receptor on the 19th of September. So for me, Tepin appears to be the horse to beat. She's ultra game. She always seems to be right there at the wire. And maybe you can just take a look in the paddock or find a friend that's connected to these Aidan O'Brien horses and see which of the two are meant more. But I think Tepin and either Easter or Outstanding, those would be the 3 fillies that I would key in on.
All right, Stevie Castagnola going with Tepin from the outside post. Johnny Gasper, how about you?
Well, there's the question mark to me is My Miss Sophia. She's run a couple of good races, hadn't quite got there. Has not been on this type of a course before, so it's Unbridled Song is really, you know, don't think of him as a turf sire, but she's kind of run spotty. You never know how they're going to handle something like this, but if she does take to it, I think she's going to be somewhere in the mix. The European horses, they think they're at home right now with this weather and the course and everything. So and Easter will be first time Lasix, which gives me, and actually her rag numbers were better than Outstanding's. So that be it said, has maybe that'd be enough to push her over the top. Tepin, obviously, we mentioned that. Sky Treasure has run over this type of a course here at Keeneland, run pretty well over it. Long shot there. Kiss Moon is also coming back off of quick, and I kind of have a question mark on her. She hasn't run real well on a soft track, so I would kind of eliminate her, even though I'd love to see David Vance win it. So I guess, you know, you really have to go with the outside horse as far as this Teppan, and then I would say Easter. Those would be my two top picks.
All right. Michael Hernan, how about you?
I would think Teppan aside, who is going to be very tough to beat, was looking for value. I do agree with John about number five, Easter, daughter of Galileo. This Aidan O'Brien trained filly has shown good form in Europe and quite heavy going. She won at Leopardstown, which is a left-handed track like Keeneland on soft ground, and she also ran well in a group race at the Curragh on yielding ground. So she's likely to handle the conditions well, and I think looking past Teppan, who will be obviously the horse to beat, I think I'd go with number five, Easter.
All right, Easter and Teppan seem to be very popular choices here in the Grade 1 First Lady. 435 Eastern, 135 Pacific. JT, do you agree?
Yes, I do. I like Easter a lot. Teppan scares me a little bit because she's run second in her last two races. She's been on a really good string, but on the Brisnet scale, her number went down by 10 points last time. So I'm a little scared to take her at a short price.
All right, again, that is the Grade 1 First Lady. We're going to tell you about the three other greatest stakes coming up here at Keeneland. The Claiborne Breeders' Futurity is the next one. We'll do that in just a moment, but it is time for your Blood Horse News Update and a look at the headlines from bloodhorse.com. Gomo romps in the Alcibiades. Right here at Keeneland, the temperature registered in the mid-50s, and the rain didn't bother to take a break October 2nd at Keeneland, but it was all Southern California sunshine in the winner's circle after Redham Racing Gomo rallied to a decisive victory in the $400,000 Darley Alcibiades Stakes. Racing on that off track for the first time, Gomo thrived in the slop, rallying from fifth early in the mile and 16th race for two-year-old fillies and drawing off to a 2 3/4 length victory. Of course, that assures Gomo a spot in the starting gate for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies in 4 weeks here at Keeneland. And Run Happy takes the Phoenix off to the Breeders' Cup Sprint. James McInvale's Run Happy took the lead soon after the start and held off all challengers to win the Stoll Keenan Ogden Phoenix Stakes on October 2nd. And that was opening day yesterday of the race you heard right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And that is your Blood Horse News Update for this morning. For more industry news and headlines, just head on over to bloodhorse.com. All right, big day yesterday here at Keeneland. That day continues this afternoon. Don't forget, we're back with you at 4 o'clock Eastern Time to bring you our exclusive radio coverage of all the challenge action here at Keeneland and in New York at Belmont Park. Johnny, let's switch it up a little bit here. We'll start with you next for the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity. It is a purse of $500,000 for the two-year-olds going a mile and a 16th. This race, the counterpart to the Darley Alcibiades we saw yesterday with the two-year-old fillies. Pretty good race here. Field of 12 set to go.
I think it's a pretty wide open race, really. I mean, you got horses coming in here, a lot of them coming off sprints. You got a few of them coming off synthetic courses. I'm gonna kind of go with a bit of a long shot here in the 6-horse Sticks Stately Dude. He had a little bad luck up there. He won. If anybody saw the race at Saratoga where he broke his maiden, I mean, he was in everybody's pocket but mine, and came out and still won going away. And then he was entered in the hopeful at Saratoga and came down with the fever, so he couldn't run. I saw him yesterday. He's a big, handsome horse. He's been here all summer training, so we watched him all summer, and we knew he was a nice horse. And he certainly proved to us that he is. He's obviously he hadn't run since early August, so he's trained right along, and I'm going to make him one of my top picks in there. I thought that the really overall, the even those Alcibiades was probably the weakest Alcibiades I've seen in a while. And here again, this race here is just so wide open. There's been a couple of horses that have run really fast, like Sheik of Sheiks ran on 11 on the sheets his first time out at Saratoga. But that was going 6 furlongs, and he was in front all the way. As Suge and I always said, you know, I want to know what they're made of when one pulls up to him at the quarter pole and looks him in the eye first. So,
yeah,
I mean, he may be the real deal. He certainly might be. The horse above him, Exaggerator, is kind of an interesting horse that's coming off a few sprints and won the Saratoga Special. He's by Curlin, who's been on fire recently, especially at Saratoga, and he's bred to go the distance. His numbers aren't that fast, but nobody's really are in here. They've all kind of run the same kind of numbers on the rag sheets, except for the Wesley Ward horse, Sheik of Sheiks, like I say, who ran an 11, which is way faster than anybody in here. That was going 6 furlongs, so you have to kind of balance that out a little bit as far as going around 2 turns. But I think I'm going to go with the 6 horse and go like a 6-7 for me. And like I say, one of them's 10-1, the other 7-2. I think that might be my play for that one,
yes,
for the futurity.
Yeah, good value there if indeed that comes through. And just getting word that there is one scratch out of this Claiborne Breeders' Futurity today. Number 3, Hawkbill, the European entrant, will not go to the post in there. So originally 12, down to a field of 11. Michael, you want to take it next for the Breeders' Futurity?
Sure do. And I'm going to pick the number 7, Exaggerator. I think this sets up well for him. He's an improving horse. He's by the very capable stallion Curlin, who excelled on slop himself. We're going to obviously have a wet track here. This 2-year-old's Tomlinson figure is 407. He should have no trouble with the surface. His style of racing, I think, suits the stretch out to the mile and a 16th. He's kind of a stalker closer. He has some natural speed. He won't be too far out of it. You've got Kent DeSormo riding for brother Keith, who did such a great job last year winning the Breeders' Cup Juvenile with Texas Red. This horse, you know, it just seems to me like he figures well. He's got had a good breeze at Churchill. He's improving. He'll stretch out. And I think he's the horse to beat, number 7.
Yeah, Exaggerator certainly does look the part for Keith DeSormo and his brother Kent in the saddle. Stevie, how about you?
I certainly wouldn't argue with the selection of the 6 or the 7. As John mentioned, Stick Stately Dude was a horse that was on a lot of people's radar before he ever ran. Exaggerator, a horse that should relish the mud and the stretch out, being by Curlin out of a Vindication mare. The inside and the outside horses are interesting. Rated R Superstar on the rail for Calvin Burrell, right where he wants to be. He was a good second last time out in the Iroquois. That was his first time going 2 turns. And Uncle Vinny, a horse that was put up via DQ in the Sanford Stakes, came back. Didn't run particularly well last time out for Todd Pletcher and the Starlight Racing Stable. Was soundly beaten in the Grade 1 hopeful. He does add blinkers for the red-hot stallion Uncle Mo, who's trying to sweep the 2-year-old stakes, graded stakes this weekend. Obviously, Gomo, a daughter of Uncle Mo. But it's going to be hard for me to look past the 5 Brody's Cause. He was a horse that was purchased by myself, Kempton Bloodstock, with the assistance of Barry Burklehammer and Lisa McGreevy for Dennis Albar and Jason Luch's Albar Family Stable. We've always loved this horse. We ran him at Ellis Park, first time out on the turf. We bet him that day. He never moved a muscle. We were a little perplexed, but we needed to get a run in him, and we wanted to run him long. He's been training fantastic at Churchill Downs. We brought him back on the 11th of September, and thank you to everybody who did not play him, because he went off at a whopping 33-1 that day and just surged down the stretch, came from last to first, won going away. He's done nothing but improve. Corey Lannery picks up the mountain. If you look at the horse that he beat last time out, Conquest Big E, he was pretty impressive yesterday in breaking his maiden. So I know we didn't beat a slouch, and we are quietly optimistic that if he can handle the mud, which being by Giants Causeway, he should. We're hoping for a big run off the pace for Brody's cause, and I will be using Stick Stately Dude underneath him. But good luck to the Albaugh family stable.
Yeah, that would be a big price as well if Brody's cause can pull it off here in the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity.
John Gasper, you think this game is on the level?
No. Never has been, never will be.
Out of the money on the turf, the beat 36 links, come back, pay $33?
It's like the old days.
Yeah.
This Holy is like mackerel. The old days.
Jeez Louise. There should be an investigation.
Wait a minute. The horse just can't improve when he switches to the dirt? Maybe he hated the turf.
He didn't like the turf.
Why does there have to be a conspiracy theory?
Well, I'll tell you what. Alfred Schellhammer, the fantastic steward from California, told me one time a guy put a horse in race, got him beat like 30 lengths, and then switched to a ring bit. And the stewards called him in after he won and paid $80. And they said, how do you explain this? And he said, well, I changed to a ring bit. And Mr. Schellhammer said to him, there's no bit ever moved a horse up 50 lengths.
I think all of you are astute enough to know that if Dale Romans has a live horse, that horse will not be 33-1.
Yeah, well, Dale Romans, we were told yesterday that there were two. He had two horses in a race, and he thought they both had a chance. I said they have no chance if that's all he said about them.
He'd be a bit more verbose.
Yeah, he gets excited when he runs one. So, they both have a chance. That's like saying they have no chance. I'm on the same horses as everybody else. Shake of Shakes. I mean, his pedigree is awesome for the mud. Discreetly Mine and Pioneering. I mean, it's a horse that eats mud for breakfast. Exaggerator. He ran great. Keith DeSormo is a much better trainer than he gets credit for. So. I like both of those.
Just interesting, on the Shake of Shakes, not often does a live Wesley Ward horse go off at almost 7-1. So the horse did not take money in his first start. So, you don't usually see that if they're well meant.
All right, one more race to take a look at here at Keeneland. That is the Grade 1 Shadwell Turf Mile. We'll do that when we come back, and then we'll look ahead to the outstanding day of racing in New York at Belmont Park. We'll do it all next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Lane's End and Woodbine Entertainment.
Airdrie Stud's Majestic Perfection continues to be one of the hottest young stallions in America. His first crop three-year-olds include Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks and Ashland Stakes winner Lovely Maria, Graded Stakes winner Hebronville, and the lightning-fast multiple stakes winner Majestic Affair. The number one sire in his crop by 2015 Graded Stakes winners to starters, and average earnings per starter, Majestic Perfection also offers a higher return on investment in the yearling ring than any other stallion in his crop. Airdrie Studs, Majestic Perfection. Think about it.
Kitten's Joy.
Big Blue Kitten wins the United Nations for the second time in 3 years.
A champion sire.
Stephanie's Kitten has won the Flower Bowl.
The number one turf sire in America.
Bobby's Kitten like a rocket out of nowhere.
Kitten's Joy, one of the premier stallions in North America, continues to produce young rising stars, including impressive debut winner Camelot Kitten, a full brother to Breeders' Cup winner Bobby's Kitten. Kitten's Joy, standing at Ramsey Farm.
Come see a Breeders' Cup preview of some of the nation's best sprinters in Saturday's Grade 1 $300,000 Santa Anita Sprint Championship. With first post time at 1 p.m., the sprint is our main event on a big 10-race program. Additionally, the great Eddie Delahousse will be on hand Saturday to present the trophy for the Grade 3 Eddie D Stakes at 6.5 furlongs down the hillside turf. Visit santaanita.com for details and more information. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Bayern is battling away in second, but Smooth Roller has his measure. And it's going to be Smooth Roller and Tyler Bay's impressive winners in today's Awesome Again Stakes. They win it easy.
Smooth Roller emerged as a budding star in the older horse division as he rolled to a 5.25 length victory in the Grade 1 Awesome Again at Santa Anita last Saturday, punching his ticket to the $5 million Breeders' Cup Classic. The son of Darley Stallion Hard Spun was one of three Grade 1 winners on the weekend for Darley-sired runners, joining Medaglia d'Oro's Songbird, who dominated the chandelier, and Street Sense's Wedding Toast, who continued her role in the Beldame at Belmont Park. And that stellar effort by Smooth Roller makes him your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Hard Spun is Danzig's last Grade 1 winning son, who sired more first crop stakes winners than any other stallion, and only Tappet has more Grade 1 winners in 2015. Hard Spun's seven lifetime Grade 1 winners include Eclipse Champion Questing, Arlington Million winner Hardest Core, along with Hard Not to Like and Hard Aces. To learn more, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
This is David Cohen, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They turn for home. Shining Copper with 3/16 to go. Shining Copper leads by a length. Shining Copper here's up with the birds coming up the third stop. Pizza Man finishing now. Big Blue Kitten charging on the outside. The Pizza Man has taken the lead. The Pizza Man on the outside. Big Blue Kitten. Chicago's about to erupt. The Illinois Bred. The Pizza Man just won the Arlington second, and Shining Copper finished third.
John Dooley with the call of the Arlington Million and the Pizza Man, Illinois bred son of English Channel, getting the victory that day, and we'll see him this afternoon in the Grade 1 Shadwell Turf Mile right here at Keeneland. Goes from that mile and a quarter test in the Million back to a flat mile here today. We'll see how he fares against a pretty good field. In a field that includes a couple of Europeans. Of course, we're going to have that coverage for you this afternoon, 4 o'clock Eastern Time, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Go to our website, horseracingradio.net, for the SiriusXM channel information, a list of affiliates, and to listen online. Mike Pena, Jude Feld with you at Keeneland Racecourse, along with our handicappers, Michael Hernan from Gainesway, John Gasper, and Steve Castagnola, previewing all the big races coming up, not just here at Keeneland, but looking ahead to the races in New York this afternoon as well. And we're going to take a look at the Shadwell Turf Mile in just a moment, but do want to remind you that as a 13-time leading stud farm, Lane's End has a proven track record of turning young stallions into leading sires. Like The Factor, the top freshman sire by yearling average, that's 15 times his stud fee. Or Union Rags, a Grade 1 winning 2-year-old and Classic winning 3-year-old who became the leading freshman sire by weanling average in 2014 and whose first yearlings realized up to $460,000. Then there's Twirling Candy, 2015's leading freshman sire by winners and 2-year-old average, and Quality Road, the leading first crop sire by earnings and greatest stakes winners in 2014. When it comes down to it, Lane's End stallions are made for success. To learn more about breeding opportunities, simply visit lanesend.com. All right, guys, the Grade 1 Shadwell Turf, race 9 this afternoon here in the Bluegrass, 5:45 Eastern, $1 million on the line, along with a spot in the starting gate for the Breeders' Cup Mile, and it will be contested on this very soft turf course here in Lexington this afternoon. Who wants it first? Stevie? No? John?
I'll take it.
Stevie? All right.
Obviously, the Pizza Man was a very popular winner, as we just heard in the Arlington Million last time, the 6-year-old Illinois bred gelding, now owner of almost $1.5 million. The 11 Jack Milton won the Maker's Mark Mile here in the spring on a soft turf course, over course and distance of the 1 mile. His last two races haven't been particularly good, and in fact, he seems to be held on form by Grand Arch and Seek Again. The 12 Tourist has run some fast numbers on the raggers and sheets. The big question mark for this son of Tiz now is the soft turf. He's never faced anything. He's out of an unbridled song mare. I find it a wide open race. I think the 5 Dutch Connection appears to be have a lot of class, a lot of quality shipping over here. Group 3 winner was narrowly beaten just over 2 lengths by Glen Eagles, one of the top 3-year-olds in Europe. And this horse, I think Dutch Connection could be the one to beat for Charlie Hills. I'm going to take a little flyer on Grand Tito. This horse doesn't appear to be quite the level of some of these, but he's had a good race over a good turf course. He seems to be right there. If you can look past the 4-star Dave and just draw a line through that, the horse doesn't deserve to be 30-1, and I think he could be even higher. But Dutch Connection for me will be the horse to beat in here. And I'm going to take a little flyer on Grand Tito in some of my pick four tickets at Big Bombardier price.
Yeah, why not? You might as well throw in a long shot or two here at Keeneland. Johnny, how about you?
It was kind of amazing to me when I picked up the form that the Pizza Man's 8-1 in here. That just goes to show you what kind of race this is. I mean, there's the horse, right below him there, Bobby's Kitten. We know about him. He won the Turf Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint last year at Santa Anita, and only been out one time since then, and that was back here in about a month ago or so, a little over a month ago at Woodbine, and kind of was kind of a speed and fade kind of a horse. We know that he's very, very rank, this horse. This horse is very hard to ride. Mike Smith's going to ride him today. He's on the outside, which makes me think he's going to be, again, he's going to be right up there on the pace and probably in front more than likely. I come back though to the 3 and the 4, King Crescent and Grand Arch. They've been right together, the both of them. They've pretty much run, one of them beats one of them one time, one the other, and it just kind of, it's kind of back and forth a little bit, and they're right there. And, Grand Arch ran a heck of a race in the 4-star Dave up there, and he has also won a race over the soft course here at Keeneland back in the spring. So I think I'm going to use him. I'm going to use King Caressa, who's also run over some soft courses up there in New York and run well. He's going to be close to the pace also. David Donk is very good. He's a really nice guy and a very good horseman. He was a former assistant to Woody Stevens. He's learned the right way, and he's kind of always flies under the radar, so to speak, but he gets the job done. So I don't know that much about the Europeans, so I'm going to kind of skip over them a little bit and go with the 3 and the 4 as my two top choices.
All right, Michael?
I'm going to pick up on the horse for the course, who I think is the 4-horse Grand Arch. He's a millionaire. He's good at Keeneland. He's 5 times on the board. He's 1-2. As John mentioned, or Steve mentioned, he won on soft ground here at Keeneland. I think that's significant. He's run very well here behind the brilliant dual Horse of the Year, Wise Dan, and if he comes anywhere close to producing that sort of performance, I think we'll see him in the winner's circle. Susan and Jim Hill have turned Margot Farm around. They're great supporters of the game. It'd be terrific for them to win this Grade One. And I think the challenger is number 5, Dutch Connection. Charlie Hills has really emerged in the last couple of years as a very talented horseman in his own right. This horse handles good to soft ground. Son of Dutch Art, he's improving. He comes in here off a good close second in a Grade 2. He's won a Group 3, gone left-handed when winning at York in England, and I think he'll be a decent price, and I like him too. The other horse who I was going to pick prior to the arrival of this weather was the 12 Tourist. Thought he was hugely dominant down at Kentucky Downs. He's a very good horse. I'm just not sure he's going to want soft ground. If it was firm, he'd be my leading pick. So I'm going to stick with Grand Arch. He likes the track. He'll handle the ground. He's well prepped for this, and I'm going to look to Dutch Connection as main challenger, number 5.
Yeah, well done, Michael Hernan. And I haven't thrown out a pick yet, but I have to agree with Michael. I think Dutch Connection is the singular horse to beat in the Shadwell Turf Mile. He's my top pick. JT, how about you?
Yeah, he looks good, but I think it's pretty obvious the Pizza Man's going to be super tough today. He's 2-for-2 going a mile. For all you people that don't think he can go a mile because he's been running a mile and a half and a mile and a quarter, 2-for-2, undefeated, going a mile. He likes the soft ground. There's plenty of speed to set it up for him. He has the perfect style for Keeneland. Florent Giroux, one of the all-time great turf riders, he's proven time and time again, no matter what track you take him to, he can loop this field like Pat Day and blow him away. And, you know, I was not happy when the pizza man won at Arlington. You and I were among the fans that were not thrilled
very
about that.
Very distraught.
Because it cost us a lot of
the
money.
The pick four, right. Yeah. But, I can't stand that horse, by the way, just in case you're wondering.
That's quite all right. You don't have to like him, but I'm telling you, it's a little obvious to me that the pizza man's going to run huge today, and 8-1 is a ridiculous price. I don't think he'll be half of that.
Horse players get jaded pretty easily, don't they?
Yes, yes, definitely. they jump ship like rats.
He's a good horse. He's a very good horse.
He's a very
man.
Good horse.
You know, we also have the last year's winner of this in here. The Maker's Mark Mile this spring, and who was on a soft course, too. That's Jack Milton.
Jack Milton, right.
You know, and he hasn't won since then. But we're talking about he's 2-for-2 here at Keeneland, so he's 8-1, probably will be 15-1, really. When you look at it, Todd hadn't had the greatest meet starting out here so far, but he's certainly capable, I think.
He hasn't won a race in 2 days.
Hadn't won a race in 2 days, man. That guy's going bad.
He's on a downward spiral, Todd Pletcher.
Well, we got the food bank down here. We can always...
Poor Todd.
By the way, you know, he is... What did he set the... He set the record for... for purses won, I think, was it $300 million? He went over $300 million recently, something like that, and that's a record. Congratulations to him, obviously.
Yeah, what a year for Todd Pletcher, and a career for Todd Pletcher as well. Let's get to one more break. We'll come back, and we'll take you down the road to the Breeders' Cup presented by Gainsway, and no better way to go down the road to the Breeders' Cup than by looking at some of those challenge races at Belmont in Elmont, New York this afternoon. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
It kind of reminds me.
Tollgate Hay Company in Georgetown, Kentucky is family owned and operated and offers top quality local and northern hay and straw. At Tollgate Hay Company, you'll find hay in both large and small squares with western hay available upon request. Are you in need of bagged shavings or the best in McCauley's feed? Tollgate Hay has you covered. So call today, 502-542-8343. That's 502-542-8343. Tollgate Hay Company.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
The Queen Elizabeth II Challenge Cup, live from Keeneland.
Sister Stroll and Personal Diary run late, but Crown Queen, the leader. Ball Dancing is second. Crown Queen, the million-dollar baby, returns to Keeneland and wins the Grade 1 Queen Elizabeth II Challenge Cup.
Next Saturday, go to horseracingradio.net for SiriusXM and affiliate info, or to listen live online.
This is Bruce Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine
Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They're coming for the quarter pole. And three of them across the track, Long River, Moreno, Big Casanova, now dropping back. Here comes Zevo, V.E. Day on the outside, Tonalist looking to come on through. They're coming down for the eighth pole, and it is Long River. And Tonalist now moves to the outside and has some run. Long River and Tonalist and Zevo with a 16th to the wire, and it's going to be Tonalist returning to the scene of his Belmont Stakes victory to capture the Jockey Club Gold Cup. Zevo was second, and Long River finished third.
John Embriel bringing them home in last year's Jockey Club Gold Cup. Tonalist getting the victory. He's back to defend his title in this afternoon's renewal of the Jockey Club Gold Cup Invitational, and that is at Belmont Park. We're going to have that coverage for you this afternoon, 4 to 6 Eastern Time, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Want to remind you that on Sunday, October 18th, you can watch and wager on the $1 million Pattison Canadian International live from Woodbine. See the best horses from countries like Ireland, Germany, England, France, Australia, the United States, and, of course, Canada. And with $1 million on the line, yeah, you can be sure they're all going to bring their A game with them to Woodbine. Wager on the early pick four, guaranteed at $300,000, and the late pick four on Canadian International Day is guaranteed at $500,000. Woodbine will be offering 20-cent bet minimums on all trifecta, superfecta, pick three, and pick four pools. It's all there for you on Sunday, October 18th, the Pattison Canadian International. For more information, visit CanadianInternational.com or follow them at Woodbine Racing on Twitter. All right, guys, four challenge races at Belmont to take a look at. We'll start with the Flower Bowl, which is race number 6, 1.25 miles on the turf. All of the stakes races at this time are still on the grass at Belmont. Stevie, go ahead.
Well, the one, Stephanie's Kitten, will be a popular choice for many, but I'm going to take the 8, a 3-year-old filly named after Jude Feld, named Curvy. she gets Lasix, brings top European form in, and she could just be a step ahead. Maybe Stephanie's Kitten might have lost a little step this year. And Curvy, the 3-year-old filly, daughter of Galileo, to beat the elders in the Flower Bowl.
All right, Stephanie's Kitten, the defending champ in that race. John Gasper?
Looks like Chad might have him surrounded here. He's got a bunch of them in there. What's the chances? Obviously got put up in the Beverly D over as kind of a yielding course, so I'd give her somewhat of a chance, and even though she's going to come from the clouds, but I don't know that much about Curvy as far as her running style, but I'm going to go with What's the Chances as my top choice in there, number 5.
All right, What's the Chances for John Gasper in the Flower Bowl, field of 10, set to go at 3:08 Eastern. Michael Hernan.
I'm going to go with Steve and pick the David Watchman train Curvy here. I think the Galileo filly will like the rain softened going at Belmont today. She's improving. She gets Lasix. Wayne Lorden comes over to ride her. He's knows her well, and I think she'll be the one to give you a good run in this one.
Pontiff, what do you think?
Well, the filly that I like's What's the Chances. I mean, she likes giving the ground. She's a very nice filly and one of my favorites.
All right. Of course, that Flower Bowl, 3:08 Eastern Time this afternoon. It will be followed by the Grade 1 Frisette with a purse of $400,000. This one for the 2-year-old fillies, and it is 1 mile. And at Belmont Park, keep in mind, that is a one-turn mile race. It is a field of 7 set to go at 3:43 Eastern Time.
Not the strongest edition of the Frisette, and this one looks ripe for the picking, and I'm going to take another European horse coming over, number 3, Nemoralia, a 2-year-old daughter of More Than Ready out of a came home mare. She should love the mud for Jeremy Nasida. He's had success bringing horses overseas to the United States and winning big races. This filly was purchased by a good friend of mine, colleague Ben Berger, and spent a lot of time at his Woodstock farm. Very, very nice, well-balanced filly, not overly big. She should love the mud. And reports coming out of England are this filly can really run. So Nemoralia to take not the strongest edition of the Frisette. She's the 3.
All right, Johnny?
I'm going to go with the 1 horse, New York Bred. by Gerolamo. She's been very impressive in her both starts against New York Breds, obviously. But her numbers are very good. Probably the drawback is that she drew the number one post. But I'm still going to make her my top choice. Like I say, I think it's any horse could jump up here. I think it's a short field, obviously, which kind of surprised me, really, short field. But another horse I guess you have to give a chance to is Desert Tune, the Street Cry Filly for Tom Albatroni and Godolphin. Did win at a mile, was not the fastest time, but certainly it did improve off of her first race, so, and has a race over the track. I guess I would go 1-6, 6-1 in there.
All right, Michael?
I'm going to pick the one also. I think she's a standout here. She'll break running. She's fired two bullets. She's very good filly, this. She'll like the stretch out. She'll like the going. And she'll wire the field and take down the Frisette.
All right, she's already a popular pick here. JT, agree or disagree?
Well, I think she's already a nice filly. I like Steve's Nemorelia for all the reasons he mentioned, including More Than Ready. We were talking about him during the break. But Width is an interesting possibility by Blame out of a pulpit mare. This filly ran pretty well first time out, and her trainer, Christophe Clement, is 30% when he stretches horses out. So I would not leave Width off my ticket.
All right, well, there you go. That is the grade one for Zet, 343 Eastern, race number 7 at Belmont. We'll step away for a quick word from the sponsor of this segment, that is Gainsway, and we'll come back and take a look at the Champagne and the Jockey Club Gold Cup.
Power.
And he's pulling away, and Frosted has won the Wood Memorial.
Passion.
Holding off Lee as they come down to the finish. Constitution of the Dawn.
Performance.
Ring Weekend and Drayton Van Dyke up to win the Kilro.
Gainsway stallion Tappet has once again been sensational in 2015. The champion sire is North America's leading sire this year, represented by four 2015 Grade 1 winners. Wood Memorial winner Frosted, Ring Weekend, who scored in the Frank E. Kilroe Mile, Don Handicap winner Constitution, and Untappable winner of the Apple Blossom at Oaklawn. Overall, Tappet has sired 17 lifetime Grade 1 winners, 40 graded stakes winners, 11 millionaires, and 6 champions. Tappet is also ranked number 1 in the sales ring in both North America and Europe, with 2015 yearlings averaging more than 952,000. Tappet, standing at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
All right, two down, two to go in terms of the challenge races at Belmont Park this afternoon. We'll take a look at the Grade 1 Champagne next. Purse of $500,000 for the two-year-olds, 1 mile on the main track, and it's a field of 9. Stevie, why break tradition? Let's start with you.
Well, I don't know if there's any room left on the runaway train that is Redham Racing. These white silks with the purple hoops seem to be winning every two-year-old graded stake, so why stop now? Number 5, Rallis, a son of Square Eddie, a homebred for Paul Redham, ran away with the Grade 1 hopeful last time out, and the extra furlong shouldn't be a problem. You can't beat Paul Redham and Doug O'Neill right now. Rallis, number 5 in the Champagne.
All right, racing on that off track for the first time. We know that worked pretty well for those guys yesterday with Gomo and the Darley Alcibiades. Johnny?
No doubt he was very impressive. No doubt Rallis was very impressive. There's two horses coming off of wins that are adding Lasix today. It's a 6 Rafting for Graham Motion, who ran pretty fast, and a Tale of Savelle, who really ran the fastest race of all, coming off of a maiden race at Saratoga, going 6 furlongs. He's stretching out. Tale of Akati out of Awesome Again Mare should not be a problem. I think he's going to be in the mix at 7-2. I'm also going to use Shug's horse, Sail Ahoy, who had must have been 10 wide in the stretch the other day and came up and beat him in the last jump. As we know, Shug doesn't really press him first time out, and he came back to win in pretty good time. So I'm going to use the 4-7 in there, and obviously the 5 will be the favorite. So
yeah, Rallis. Michael Hernan, how'd you see the Champagne?
I also like John's selections, the 6 and 7. Rafting was switched from turf to dirt. He relished that. He gets Lasix. He won well. And Tappet himself loves slop, so this horse, I think, will handle the conditions. And the 7 was very impressive. I happened to be there to see that, witness his debut win live, and he gets Lasix too. He's had a good break. He's trained well into this, so I see it as a 6-7 contest.
I like Magna Light a little bit. He unfortunately drew the rail again, but I think this is one of the best two-year-olds in the country, and I wish I could train him. That's all I have to say.
Pontiff out. All right, how about the Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup? Start with you, JT.
Oh.
We have about 1 minute to cover this one.
Well, then you're in trouble. I'll go with Tonalist.
Tonalist?
Yeah.
All right, the favorite for the Pontiff. Wipe the chalk off your face.
Yeah.
Well, Stevie?
Coach Inge ran into a buzzsaw in Liam's map last time out in the Woodward. John Velasquez obviously opts for Tonalist, but Irad Ortiz and Top Pletcher click at about 22%, more than capable. No Liam's map in here. Coach Inge, the two in the Jockey Club Gold Cup.
John Gasper.
I guess Tonalist is the horse to beat, and he's drawn outside, so he'll have a good trip. I'd be surprised if he doesn't gather up the stew today.
Yeah, and of course he's a son of Gainesway Stallion Tappet, which makes Michael Hernan happy. Tonalist going in the Jockey Club Gold Cup. Michael?
Tonalist was Tappet's first Belmont winner, memorable race. He loves Belmont. He loves slop, so we give a push to Shell Evans here and his racing manager, Patrick Lawley-Wakeland. So let's hope for Tonalist to arrive in the winner's circle and then head south for the Classic here at Keeneland.
All right, there you have it. And that's the Jockey Club Gold Cup coming up this afternoon, 5:28 Eastern. You're going to hear it exclusively with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Tune in 4 to 6 Eastern Time, Sirius XM 93, terrestrial affiliates across the country, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Gentlemen, been a lot of fun here this morning. Stevie, thanks so much.
I appreciate it. Good luck today to Steve McGowan, David Gamble, Dream Chaser Thoroughbreds in the second race with the 6 all out of aces.
Johnny, we're back next week.
Yes, sir. Can't wait.
Michael, appreciate it, my friend.
Go with the Farmer's Almanac. Sunny, 60, here for the Breeders' Cup at Keeneland.
Keep beating that drum. I love the sound of it. I want to thank all of our guests for showing up here on the program today, not just Michael, Stevie, and John, but want to thank Charlie Lepresti for being here in the first half of the program, and Ron Winchell as well. Back this afternoon. We're just getting started, JT.
Oh, yeah. It's an all-day affair here at HRRN.
The road to the Breeders' Cup in full swing. Want to thank our producers, Lee Delapina in our Lexington studio, and Sean C. here on site. For the Pontiff of the Big Four, I'm Mike Pena. As always, go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.